But finally, this brings us to our last speaker this morning at the 70 for 70 Boker Reyun under the sponsorship of World Mizrahi. I'm delighted to welcome to Shul this morning Rav Aaron Adler from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Morad Astra today. What's the name of the Shul? Ohel?
Ohel
Nechama in Yerushalayim, but we know him best as the brother of Aaron, Rabbi Yossi Adler from up the street. Someone I've had the privilege of Adlering for many, many years in Eretz Yisrael, is a noted Rav there now for decades already. And it's a great kavod once again for me to introduce to our shul and all the gathered this morning for the Boker Reyun Yom HaTzmut HaShavim, Rav Aaron Adler. Kavod. Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Thank you very much, Rabbi Prezansky, and to the Bnei Shurin for the opportunity of speaking this morning. On behalf of the Mizrahi, World Mizrahi, headquartered in Yerushalayim, in honor of our 70th Yom HaTzmut coming up this week. So Rav Doron Peretz discussed somewhat about Kibbutz Galiot, and Ein Shnei Nevi'im Mitnabim B'Signon Echad. No two prophets prophesy in the same style. And this shiur will also deal with Kibbutz Galiot, but from a different angle. The question of the sequential order of Kibbutz Galiot. We know that there are different facets. You can break down to certain component parts what we call the end of days, Acharit Yamim, where Kibbutz Galiot is a detail, a rather central, important detail, but if it's a detail, it follows something, it precedes something. The question is, where does Kibbutz Galiot factor into the larger picture of the emerging Geulat Am Yisrael, the final redemption? And obviously, the question also has to be raised, are we talking about Kibbutz Galiot today, the fact that 46% of the Jewish people reside in Eretz Yisrael today? And just so we get a little bit of a contrast, at Beit Sheni, the second Beit HaMikdash, which no one had to fire a shot to come back to Eretz Yisrael, it was by license of Persian authority. It was the then Balfour Declaration, but it was the Declaration of Cyrus, which, by the way, Balfour modeled his declaration after the Psukim in Sefer Haggai from Koresh, from Cyrus's edict. People were invited, encouraged by the Persian authorities to leave Bavel and go back to Eretz Israel, build up the Beit HaMikdash, build up Yerushalayim. This was not an Israeli state with a flag and Atikva and an Israeli army. It was a Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kodeshim on Yom Kippur. So, how many came? No more than 5%. No more than 5% of the Jewish population opted for Aliyah. And a Chazal teach us that because of that, Beit Sheni was doomed on its first day. It did not stand a chance of evolving into a Geula Shlema. Because the prophet spoke about two Batei Mikdash, HaRishon VeHaAcharon. Gadol Yeh Bayit Acharon Min HaRishon. They did not speak of three. So there's a famous Reb Chaim, the Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, that there are three historic Batei Mikdash, but two halachic Batei Mikdash. is the first. And then the second hyphenated third. That we're on pause right now for almost 2,000 years. But when the third Beit HaMikdash will be built, it's going to be pushing the pause button back to its run position. And the second Beit HaMikdash will actually continue. And that most probably is the explanation, Gadol Yeh Bayit Acharon Min HaRishon. I mean, just because the second Beit HaMikdash stood 420 years and the first 410, a whole 10 years would demand a statement of consolation. Oh, the second Beit HaMikdash is going to outlive the first Beit HaMikdash. I mean, big deal. It's also going to be destroyed. But if you see it in the context of the third Beit HaMikdash, then it already enjoys a lot of validity, that kind of bracha. On the source page, we have from Tilim Perek Kuf Zayin. If you daven Nusach Svard in a shtibel, you say this every Friday night before Mincha gets kicked off. If you are a Svaradi, it's read in Eidot HaMizrach, it's read on Seder night. And if you go to Shul on Yom HaTzma'ut, and I don't know the Seder of Tfilah of Yom HaTzma'ut in the various shuls in Chutz La'aretz, because every shul, every Morad Asra basically suggests how the shul should observe Yom HaTzma'ut.
We do it here.
There you go. So this was suggested by the chief rabbinate, by the Rabbanut Hashit. And if I may even add, many of you remember Rabbi Louis Bernstein, Zichron Levracha. He was a rabbi in Queens for many years. He was a professor of history at Yeshiva University. He did a doctoral dissertation on the impact of the RCAs, the Rabbinical Council of America, on the formation of modern Orthodoxy in America. Fine. As an appendix to his dissertation, he has 8 written responsa from the Rav. Now, the Rav didn't write tshuvas. We know that. He wasn't like Rav Moshe Feinstein, 8 volumes, or the Tzitz Eliezer, 19 volumes, or Rav Avadya Yosef. No, none of that. The Rav was dynamic. So he paskened, he was a posek, except that many times he would look at the person, examine a very unique side to his shaila, and it wouldn't be the same answer. So that's why he did not commit these things to writing. But the Rav assumed the position of chairman of the Halacha Commission of the RCA in 1950, and the RCA posed the question to him, among other things, how should we in the United States, members of the RCA, observe Yom HaTzmut? Very, very important question. The Rav gave a 4-word answer. And this I saw in Dr. Rabbi Bernstein's dissertation. And the answer was, Hei Mamru Vehei Mamru. Now we're familiar with that in the Gemara, where many times our Chachamim make a restriction, but in a certain circumstance, it's permissible. Because they made the restriction, so they can make the permissibility. Peshe asar, hu peshe hitir. And I asked the Rav point blank, what did you mean by Hei Mamru Vehei Mamru? So he told me, did I make Yom HaTzmut? Hei Mamru, the Rabbanut Rashid made Yom HaTzmut. Shehem Yagidu. So they should say, and basically his response was, that whatever the official position, not of a particular chief rabbi, but of the rabbinical council of the chief rabbinate, the Mo'etzet HaRabbanut Rashid, whatever the official position is, whatever it is, that's what they should be doing in America. Why? Because he said, with the question of Yom HaTzma'ut, it's not a question of basar v'chalav in your kitchen that you ask your rabbi. So what's the difference if another rabbi would say a different psak? You're bound by your rabbi. Yom HaTzma'ut is not a personal, it's not a B'nai Yeshurun question, it's not a B'nai Yisrael question, it's not a Beth Abraham question, it's an Am Yisrael question in Eretz Yisrael, he said. And thereby, the Rabbanut Rashid has a din of Amara Da'atra. So it's not a personal shaila, it's a communal shaila. And if we in the RCA in America would like to observe Yom HaTzma'ut in the spirit of the way our Israeli brethren are doing it, do it the way the Israeli brethren are doing it. As simple as that was the psak. And they say the Rav wasn't a Zionist now, right? We're into revisionism. So, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Ulam Chazdo, Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Ge'alam Miyatzar. This is a Perek in Tilim that talks about Geula. Now, Geula, redemption, shows up in Jewish history several times over. But what aspect of Geula, of redemption, is David HaMelech in the Tehillim talking about? He's talking about Me'aratzot Kibtzam. This is the headline stanza. From the lands we would be gathered, Mimizrach u'mima'arav, from east and west, Mitzafon u'miyam, from north and south. In this context, Yam very, very strangely, means south. It means the Red Sea. It's like after Eilat, you have a sea. You know, the Yam is usually in Tanakh referred to as the Mediterranean. Yam avakedma tzafon avanegba. So the directions are given in terms of standing in the center of Eretz Israel. So Yama is to the Yam, which means to the Mediterranean. Negba is to the Negev, which is the dry area, the south. Tzafona is the north. And Mizrach, Kedma, Kedem, is the east. So how come here it says Yam and it means south? That's a question of Parshanut HaMikra when you study it. But in a homiletic sense, I believe that there's an allusion to the fact that west is referred to twice. Mimizrach u'mimarav, from east and west, and from north and from west. It's an allusion to the fact that west is mentioned twice. I have a hunch why. Because when it comes to the aliyah, the kibbutz goliot, of Western Jewry, there will be a need for a second calling. It's not going to happen on the first calling. People will come, but there will still remain in the diaspora a significant amount of Am Yisrael that are going to have to be urged a second time and a third time and so on. Hu yashmi'enu barachamav shenit le'enei kol chai. It's going to happen a second time. So maybe Western Jewry is being referred to here. As Rashi tells us in Parshat Nitzavim, when Kibbutz Goliot is squarely put on the table, v'shav Hashem alkechav shvutcha v'rachamecha v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol amim, Rashi says, why does it say v'shav twice? Because there will be certain communities where Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to knock on the door and he's going to have to come back and knock a second time because they didn't open the door the first time. So this is an interesting allusion. Many of you have heard and perhaps have read from Rav Yoel ben Nun. Rav Yoel ben Nun was my Mashgiach Ruchani, religious guidance counselor at Yeshivat HaRetzion back in 1972. He was young. He didn't have tzitzis on his suit jacket yet. Very fascinating personality and develops into one of the leading teachers of Tanakh at Yeshivat HaRetzion and has a core of Talmidim, most probably the most famous of all is today one of the Rashi Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Meidan, student of Rav Yoel ben Nun. And Rav Yoel has written extensively about Tanakh. In particular, this chapter, for his 60th birthday, just a few years ago, he publishes a sefer called Nes Kibbutz Goliot, The Miracle of the Ingathering of Exiles, where Rav Yoel says, what exactly are we celebrating on Yom HaTzma'ut? Let's put our finger on the aspect of Geula, of the redemptive process that we're celebrating. He says we're clearly celebrating the idea of Kibbutz Goliot. Because it's really the most concrete manifestation of what we didn't have yesterday because there was the British didn't allow us in, the Turks, the this, all kinds of restrictions. And with the establishment of State of Israel, Am Yisrael now, in its declaration of independence, in a very, very clear voice, calls on world Jewry to come in Aliyah. And the door is open. And something is extremely unique, and that is citizenship. Because any migrant to the United States, once we get citizens, it is a process. I mean, it's 5 years, it's this, it's that. And we have such laws in Israel as well. If some person in the world would like to move to the State of Israel, there's a way that you become a citizen. But a Jew becomes a citizen the minute you put your foot down on the land. Automatic citizenship, because you're Jewish. And in the period of the Soviet refuseniks, we granted citizenship before they even made it to the country, so that they had some type of a passport to get out of Russia and other countries and so on. So this is something very unique. The Yom Tov, the Chag of Kibbutz Goliot. And it says Rav Yoel, that the Rabbanut Rashid, whether they knew it or not, we call Niba v'lo yadama Niba, they actually picked the perfect chapter of Tillim to begin Yom HaTzmut. Because while this chapter forms the basis of an important halakha called Birkat HaGomel, it gives us the various scenarios of Arba'a Tzarchim Lehodot, whether it's a Choleish Nitrapei, person who was sick, it doesn't mean he had a cold and you know, you got over it after 10 days because you had a lot of chicken soup and tea, that I'm not sure you're obligated in Goimel for something like that. The Rav Zichron Lebracha always said, in life-threatening situations, there's Goimel. Not life-threatening, be careful. That's why the Rav said that on air travel, if everything went okay, there's no real obligation. But there were other Paiskim who differed. So you talk to your Rav how to handle that. But Cholesh Nitrape, a asir, a prisoner who is freed, that doesn't mean a government minister who was indicted for corruption and spent 2 years in the slammer and comes out and benches Goimel, that's a bracha levatola. There's no question in my mind, that's a bracha levatola. What?
Because he's going back.
All right, Vamevin Yovin, okay. Yeah, Nebuch. Nebuch. The type of prison that we've talked about in Chazal were the Roman dungeons, where more often than not, you never came out alive. So if you did come out of alive, it was a nes, you bench Goimel. And the other was traveling the high seas. Many people never made it because of pirates, because of storms, and so on. So there was a Goimel, and traveling over desert for the same reason. These were places of mortal danger. And the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, in the last chapter, lifts it all out of this chapter. But Rav Yoel ben Yun says, put the halachic ramifications aside. If you just examine this chapter of Tehillim, Kuf Zayin, it talks about all the various scenarios of how Am Yisrael come back to Eretz Yisrael in the modern days. Some come by ship, Yordei Onayot, I mean eventually airplanes, but over the seas. Some are Holchei Midbarot, and I'm sure you've heard more than one story of how Jews, DPs, walked long distances, how Ethiopian Jews walked long distances to Sudan, how Persian Jews walked long distances in desert territory in order to make it to Eretz Yisrael with great Mesirut Nefesh. And we also took in the refugees from the Shoah who were still ill, and there was still famine. They were trying to get over it. Medinat Yisrael provided not only a political haven, but also safety and for rebuilding one's health. And the idea of imprisonment, the way the Perek describes being imprisoned in death camps, it's almost writing about the Shoah very, very clearly. Rav Yoel says, this Perek speaks the language, it's the Hallel for Yom HaTzmaut, of the ingathering of exiles. So my question is, where does it factor in this country, in this scenario of Yomot HaMashiach? In this book, in the back of the page, there is a picture of the Exodus, not the film, the real boat, 1947. I have a gentleman in my shul who attended the engagement of his great-granddaughter. He was on the Exodus. And he told me Paul Newman wasn't there. He said that was his story. I'm going to tell you my story. It wasn't the same story. And on this, what happened was, my daughter, in a museum, in the Palmach Museum in Tel Aviv, saw this picture and had under the picture the psukim from Kuf Zayin, Yordei Hayam Me'oniyot Osei Melacha, and so on, Vayitzaku, and so on, the whole section. And she told Rav Yoel, take a look at this picture, because it matches what you talked about in a shir that she had heard from him. He got a hold of the picture and used it on the book. It was very nice. So we have a little chelik in this book here. What about the sequential order? So take a look at source number two. What could be better than a Rambam? I studied, among other things, not only by the Rav, but by Rav Dr. Meir Simcha Cohen Feldblum, Zichron Levracha, who taught us once that the Rambam, we think he wrote it in Egypt, but really we know he wrote it in Frankfurt, right? In Germany, because it's very orderly. It's very orderly. Every Briska knows that the order of the Rambam is very, very important. How the Rambam places Rabbi Twersky Zichron Lebracha in his introduction to Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, a monumental work, develops a whole chapter just on the classification and the order of the halachot and Mishneh Torah. So there's nothing haphazard in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And it reads, HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amod Lachzir Malchut David Liyoshna LeMemshalah Rishana. There will be an emergence of a Melech HaMashiach. He will restore the Davidic dynasty. U'boneh HaMikdash U'mikabetz Nitchei Yisrael. He will build the Beit HaMikdash and ingather the exiles. Now, when I grew up as a kid, I went to a quasi-Haredi yeshiva in Midtown Manhattan, Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim, where it was pretty, the policy was, Aliyah, Mashiach comes, we go on Aliyah. Now, we've all heard that, perhaps some of us still use that argument, when Mashiach comes, we'll come on Aliyah. I was brought up in a house where my father, Avshalom, taught us, maybe Mashiach is waiting for us. It's a different take on this. But one second, you've got a Rambam. And the Rambam many times uses Psukim as a basis. And every morning in Psukim de Zimra, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nitchei Yisrael Yechanes. Rebuilding of Yerushalayim, or building of Yerushalayim, and only afterwards, Am Yisrael will gather. And perhaps that's the reason that prompted the Rambam to write, Bonei HaMikdash, U'mekabes Nitchei Yisrael. There's only one problem to this. In source number 3, the Rambam tells us that we have absolutely no tradition whatsoever in terms of the sequential order. We know that the following items have to happen, A, B, C, D, and E. But in what order exactly, there's no tradition. So even with regard to the pasuk that we read in Shabbat HaGadol, Hine anochi shaleach lachem et Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yom HaGadol, that there will be an Eliyahu Navi who will rise and announce the coming of Mashiach, that seems to be the pshat, the simple understanding. The Rambam interprets this as a restoration of prophecy and not necessarily Eliyahu the man returning. And that, why? One second. Did we grow up on this tradition? And the Rambam says, it underlined in source number 3, the yesh min hachamim she'omrim shekodem biyat ha-mashiach yevo Eliyahu. There are some that indicates, and there are others who differ. There are some, it almost even suggests a minority opinion. There are some who believe that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu will show up. V'chol elu advarim u'kiyotze behen, but with regard to all these matters, lo yada adam echiyu achiyu. Nobody really knows what's going to happen until it happens. Shedvarim stumin hein etzel anaviyim. These matters are a locked case amongst the prophets. We never had got a clear vision on this. Gam hachachamim ein lem kabbalah bedvarim elu. Our sages never had an oral tradition. Ela lefi hechrei apsukim. You can take the psukim and interpret it any way you like. Ulefikach, therefore, yesh lemachloket bedvarim elu. There are disputes, whether it's this way or that way. Valkopanim, nevertheless, says the Rambam, Ein sidur havayot varim elu, the sequential order of these matters, velo diktukehen, and the details, ikar badat, are fundamental in our religion. So if Leo comes or doesn't come, it's okay. If this happens first and that happens first, or the other way around, that's also okay. Let it happen. That's what the Rambam says. He basically advises, we believe in a very general way of the coming of Mashiach, and we know that the Nevi'im spoke of A, B, C, D, and E, but exactly how it's going to pan out, we don't know. So what the Rambam's referring to, that amongst the Nevi'im, there are different takes on this, is the difference between source 4 and 5. So in source number 4 is Yeshayahu. Now in Chutz La'aretz, this was read as the Haftarah for the last day of Pesach. But we don't have a last day of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. We have the seventh day of Pesach. So of all things, this year happened to be in Shabbat, the eighth day of Pesach. So by us, it was just a Shabbat, Parshat HaShavua. We just couldn't have challah. We had to have matzah. That's all. But everybody took out their kitniot that we had. Because kitniot is not chametz. And I had in my refrigerator hummus and tchina and everything. I can do it anyway because I have a son-in-law. Who I have three of my six kids don't have kitniot issues because of all kinds of inter-ethnic marriages. So I have no problems having kitniot in my house anyway. And Chazal always said that there's always a concern, Shema Yavo Orchim, guests may show up on your house on Shabbos or Yom Tov, whatever. So, some Sfardim will enjoy having some hummus and trina. So I have no problems having it in the house. And the real reason I buy it is because I have a minhag, that the first thing I do after my wife says we're done with the Pesach dishes, is at 11 p.m. I run to Angel's Bakery. I'm Kazet Tzadik, and I wait online with 300 Mishugoyim, and I'm telling you, they have armed guards, as they let the people through, Kivakarat Roe Edro Mavir Tzono Tachat Shifto. You walk into Angel's Bakery, a mile away, you can smell the fresh lachmaniyot, and people are waiting online there like they haven't eaten bread for a week, and it's such an aroma in the neighborhood of Kiryat Moshe just to smell it, and you pick up your 10 fresh lachmaniyot, and you know this is fresh, can't get fresher. And you have to have hummus and trina, you know, to swipe, or else it's not a lachmaniyah. But this year you could do that with your matzah, or egg matzah for that matter, if you had it at home, on the Shabbos, because it wasn't Pesach anymore. It was just Parshat Shmini. And I heard Parshat Shmini this year three times, by the way. Three times. Twice yesterday. Nebuch. Because I had to speak in two minyanim, you know. So I got a double dose yesterday. So this Haftarah is the Haftarah for Chutz La'aretz for the eighth day of Pesach. But the Rabbanut HaRashit said we should read it as an unofficial Haftarah on Yom HaTzmut. Whether it's Monday, Thursday with laning or not makes no difference. We don't say the brachot for the Haftarah. It's just a ceremonial reading because it's appropriate. It talks about Kibbutz Goliot. V'yatza chote migeza Yishai v'netza misharav Yifre. Geza Yishai means from the trunk of Yishai, which is a reference to the restoration of Malchut Beit David. And the psukim go on to tell us about Mashiach. He will be endowed with Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chochmah, Bina, and so on. And the pasuk gimel, v'harichol b'yirat Hashem, he will be endowed with being a God-fearing person. And he will judge people correctly. And there will be an era in pasuk vav, v'gar ze'evim keves, v'namerim gidi yirbatz, that there will be international tranquility, as the Rambam interprets this allegorically. No longer wars amongst nations. And all this is just setting the stage for Pasuk Yud. And Pasuk Yud, all of a sudden, we're going to have Kibbutz Goliot. And that day, Shorash Yishai Asher Omed L'Neis Amim Elav Goyim Midrashu V'Yitam Menuchato Kavod V'Yabayomahu Yosif Hashem Shinit Yado Liknot Et Sha'ar Amo. God will stretch His hand out a second time. The first time was Yitziat Mitzrayim. Now the second time in Acharit Yamim, and it lists the various countries throughout the world. V'nasa neis l'goyim v'asaf nitchei Yisrael unufutzot Yisrael yikabetz me'abakam fot haaretz. This is Kibbutz Goliot. Who comes first? Mashiach. And after Mashiach, you know, Kibbutz Goliot. So I guess in Borough Park, they're right, according to Yeshayahu. But if you flip the page to source number 5, Yecheskel has it the other way around. You know, today it's, I think, illegal to have cigarette commercials on the media, right, on TV and radio. But we grew up, right? We grew up, not anymore, we grew up on that. So I remember there was a cigarette that was called Benson and Hedges. And the way the commercial went was, there were two guys, and they did a shutfus, a partnership, and one of them says, I can see it already, Hedges and Benson. And the commercial ends, but Benson saw it the other way. Right, it was called Benson and Hedges. So you have the Yeshayahu saying it one way, and now you have Yecheskel seeing it the other way. Yecheskel does not say that the Yemot HaMashiach will come about because of some religious revival and the coming of Mashiach. No, it's going to come about because of Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem. Ve'echmol al Shem Kodshi asher chilu Beit Yisrael bagoyim asher ba'u sham. It's going to be such a Chilul Hashem that Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot tolerate it any longer. So what are the options? To let Am Yisrael disintegrate totally, or to do something about it and undo the Chilul Hashem? And Yecheskel says, L'chein emor lebeit Yisrael, ko ma Hashem Elokim, lo lamanchem ani yoseh beit Yisrael, I'm not doing it for you. Ki im l'shem kodshi asher chilaltem b'goyim asher batem sham. We're doing it because Kadosh Baruch Hu says, because my name was profaned. And I have to do something about it. V'kidashti et shmi agadol hamchulal bogoyim asher chilaltem betocham. This is now repeated 3 times. The massive Chilul Hashem, and the world will know. V'yadu agoyim ki ini Hashem. And how is this going to be expressed? Pasuk Kaf Dalid. V'lekachti etchem min agoyim. I will take you from the nations. Kibatzti etchem mikol haratzot. I will gather you from all the nations, all the lands. Heveiti etchem el admatchem. And only afterwards would there be spiritual revival. V'zarakti alechem mayim tohorim. This is read for Parshat Parah, but Haftarah. This is the sprinkling. The sprinkling. V'zarakti alechem mayim kedoshim. It's the spiritual revival when? After Am Yisrael has been brought back into Eretz Yisrael. Suggesting that there will be a secular entity. Secular in the sense, less committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the only way there will be revival in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to bring Am Yisrael back first. And what was the great Chilul Hashem? You know, we talk about 6 million who perished Al Kiddush Hashem. That does not stand in contradiction to the fact that the Shoah was the greatest Chilul Hashem that ever happened to Am Yisrael. It was a Chilul Hashem. That this could happen to Am Yisrael. This did not bring glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, to Am Yisrael. It was a Chilul Hashem. And the Rav spoke about this often enough in Kol Dodi Dofek, the speech in 1956 on Yom HaTzmaut. A Kiddush Hashem became in place of the Chilul Hashem by simply bringing Am Yisrael back. And you know, when you study the history of modern Aliyah, we speak about the first Aliyah, the second Aliyah, the third Aliyah. That's how it's taught in different groupings. And it hasn't stopped yet, and we still have. And there was the Russian Aliyah, and there was the Ethiopian Aliyah, and so on. It's moving. Soon we'll have the Tinek Aliyah. You know, it's on its way. So you see it in the Pasuk. V'lakachti etchem min agoyim, v'kibatzti etchem mikol haratzot, v'heveti etchem, v'zarakti. You know, the Medrash says, k'neged arba'a l'shonot geula. Exactly like we have in Mitzrayim. V'hotzeiti, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Here you have 4 expressions of geula. V'lakachti, v'kibatzti, v'heveti, v'zarakti. And only afterwards does the Navi go on to say that David Avdi Melech Alehem, Melech HaMashiach will appear, which is a result of Kibbutz Goliot. So the Rambam's correct. You get 2 different takes. You open Yeshayahu, you get one way. You open Yecheskel, you get the opposite way. So who's right? Rambam says, it could be this way, it could be that way. Sit tight, be patient, we'll see. But that pasuk of Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem Nitchei Yisrael Yechanes, it's pretty clear that Chazal had a preference as to what the order would be. And the preference, as we'll see in a moment, is that Kibbutz Goliot comes first, and only afterwards, the emergence of Melech HaMashiach. And this we see in source number 6. Source number 6 deals with that pasuk, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Birkat HaMazon, we classically call benching. So in the third bracha of Birkat HaMazon, it begins with Rachem. How do we bench? We say, Rachem Na Hashem Elokeinu Sholamecha. And how does it end? How does it end with Bonei Barachamav or Bonei Yerushalayim? So Gemara says that there are 3 different options of how to structure Rachim. We do it in accordance to the last opinion, Afilu Patach Barachim Al Yisrael, Chotem BeBonei Yerushalayim. Because it says, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nitchei Yisrael Yechanes. When, Eimatai Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, when will HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuild Yerushalayim? Bizman Shenitchei Yisrael Yechanes. As a prerequisite to rebuilding Yerushalayim, you have to have Am Yisrael come home first, which means the Kibbutz Goliot factor will come first. And this shows up in the way Chazal understood the order of our Shmoneh Esrei. Every day, 3 times a day, we say Barech Aleinu. Now, according to most Rishonim, even if you're in Australia or on the moon, Barech Aleinu, when you say Talu Matar in the winter, you're asking for rain in Eretz Yisrael. That's a machloket Rishonim, but the Rambam believes that, and many Rishonim believe that. And the Gemara here, for sure, Masechet Megillah Yud Zayin, believes that. That this talks about the agricultural revival of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, and it's linked to source number 7, the Amar Rab Abba, Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mizu. It's so open for all to see, Shenemar, as it says in Yecheskel, in that same parak, V'atem Harei Yisrael, An Pechem Titenu, Fer Yechem Tisu Lami Yisrael, Ki Kervu Lavo. You want an indication that it's happening? When Mark Twain toured the world, and he got to Palestine, it was the lowest of the low. Nothing grew there. And all of a sudden, we've converted that non-growth situation to a Gan Eden. You know, there's more food on the table today in Eretz Yisrael than ever in the history of Eretz Yisrael. And once upon a time, 90-95% of people engaged in agriculture. Today, less than 3% of Israelis engage in agriculture, and there's more food on the table. It's miraculous what we've done, no doubt. And only after that, you have Tikah B'Shofar Gadol L'Chirutenu, the next bracha on the agenda. And we know that Shmoneh Esrei has to be davened in order, Lefi HaSeder. And only after Kibbutz Goliot will we have the Sanhedrin that will allow us to integrate all the Golim. So we are in the process of Kibbutz Goliot. But we've already begun the process of Mizug Goliot. And Mizug Goliot today, we don't have a Sanhedrin to force it with legislation, halakhic legislation, but it's happening under the chuppah, where most of the weddings in Israel today are across ethnic lines. There's only one grouping, and I'm not saying this, God forbid, any Lashon Hara, there's only one grouping in Israel left that they're still looking at the yichus, the pedigree, to make sure, and it's the Ashkenazi Haredi group. It's the only one left. Nobody else could care, because the kids are growing up together already, and there's already mixed families, and that's it. And they go to university together, they go to the army together, and so on. I have a son-in-law from Tunisian extraction. I have a daughter-in-law from the Syrian Halabi extraction. Besedegamu, part of the family. And it's Maisim B'choyam. I also have an American, Besedegamu. So, you know, just to equalize it. But this is where the Mizu Goliot is going to happen. At one of the britot of my grandson, so we had a Yemenite moil, and he was proficient with all the minagim of all the Eidot, because that's what a moil today has to. He has to know all the songs. So he starts with the very beautiful North African Brit Yitzchak. It's very melodious. And so he begins, if you're an Ashkenazi, you have to have a lot of patience to get through it. And finally he finishes that long piyut and everything. And we're very happy that he did it, you know, make the mechutin happy. So then he says, all right, Ovrim la Ashkenaz. We're now going to Ashkenaz. He goes, Kvata! And he yells out, Kvata! And I told my wife, I said, that's it. That's Mizu Goliot, right then and there. Right then and there. We saw it in front of our eyes. And that's what's happening today in Eretz Israel. So this is going to lead to Torah Achat, to a merger also of Minag Yisrael and so on. So why did the Rambam write Bonei Yerushalayim, Bonei HaMikdash, and then Mekabetz Etzrei Yisrael? Why did he do it in that order? Well, he's going to write two things, so one's going to come first. But is there any thought that the Rambam did here? We know, and I'm not going to take time now to prove this, that many times when the Rambam deals with two different things, he will put the more stronger value first and the less value second, whatever the values may be. We know that we put on tefillin shel yad, and then afterwards it's tefillin shel rosh. We also know that the tefillin shel rosh is more kadosh halachically than tefillin shel yad. When the Rambam deals with the halachot of tefillin, he talks about the halachos of tefillin shel rosh, and then he talks about the halachot of tefillin shel yad. When it comes to putting on the tefillin, it's the other way around. So too, same thing with the Mishkan. Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh talks about the ideal, and that's why it begins with the klei hamikdash, and only afterwards the boards. But in Vayakel Pekudei, it's the construction of the Mishkan in reality, so you put up the boards first, and then you bring in the artifacts. And this is very, very common in the Rambam. The Rambam wanted to say that Binyan HaMikdash is the crown jewel of this whole process here. Kibbutz Goliot is important, but it's second fiddle to the building Beit HaMikdash. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen first. It could very well happen the other way around. And Baruch Hashem, we are a participant in this process. It's a very exciting, historic process. And I am keenly aware of the fact that both this Kehillah and Tinek in general as running a much larger percentage of Aliyah than many other Jewish communities in the United States. We are aware of it. And Dafke, because of that, you know, it should be a mitzvah gereret mitzvah. And God willing, each this place, not only in my neighborhood in Katamon, but you don't have to live in Yerushalayim. It's not Yerushalayim a bust. There are neighborhoods from the Golan until Eilat that willing to now bring, you know, all kinds of olim from all kinds of different countries and share in this most exciting historic enterprise called Kibbutz Goliot, and not sit around for Melech HaMashiach, but as my father Avshalom said, Mashiach may be waiting for us, and we can accelerate that process. God willing, in 10 to 15 years, Rov Am Yisrael will be in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the facts. In 10 to 15 years. The last time that happened was 2,600 years ago, before the Galut of the 10 tribes. And we're going to see it. We should all be well and strong and everything. And it's going to impact on certain halachot of Shemitah and so on. You can all have a great chelik in this as well. In the meantime, stay connected to Eretz Israel in every way possible, which I know this wonderful Kehillah does. And Mirz Hashem, we say L'shana Ba Yerushalayim, you know, we should all, you know, really take it to heart and mean it. Kol tov.
Thank you.